Welcome to At the Organ.
The first members of the Moravian Church came to colonial America from Germany in the 1730s. They arrived in a number of places, although they were not very successful in the beginning. Their first attempted settlement was in Savannah, Georgia, although that eventually failed. They tried again starting in the 1740s, converting the Native Americans to Christianity in New York. Those communities thrived initially, but eventually dwindled away. It was in the colony of Pennsylvania, which upheld the conviction of religious freedom, that the Moravians were the most successful. The towns of Bethlehem, Nazareth, Emmaus, and Lititz were all founded as Moravian settlements. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania became the northern headquarters of the church as it still is today. Pipe organs accompanied congregational singing in the churches of those towns. Among the early settlers was a young woodworker named David Tannenberg. When an organ builder named Johann Gottlieb Klemm joined the group, Tannenberg went to work as his assistant and learned how to build pipe organs. He went on to become the most important organ builder of the American colonial period. Today, 9 of his pipe organs still exist and play. One can be found in the Whitefield House in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, now known as the Moravian Historical Society, and that's what our show is about today. Raymond Brunner is an organ builder who was responsible for the restoration of this pipe organ. He tells us about David Tannenberg.
David Tannenberg was, of course, a Moravian. He came over from Europe when he was a young man with another group of Moravians and settled here in the Nazareth area, later lived in Bethlehem, and then in later life lived in Lititz in the Moravian community there.
Tannenberg was, as far as I can tell, a fascinating and a very versatile person. He wasn't only an organ builder, of course. He also had important administrative responsibilities in the Moravian community here in Pennsylvania.
Lawrence Libben is the retired curator of musical instruments at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York.
I think, like most people, he didn't have a single full-time job. He built organs, he built other keyboard instruments, but I think he also did some farming. He was a musician himself and played with the very wonderful Bethlehem ensembles, and also in Lititz, I believe, he played. And I think he sang as well. So he was a thoroughly musical person, and we don't really know exactly how he learned about organ building, whether he had some background in Germany before he came to this country, but we do know that he early became associated with Johann Klemm.
He began building organs in Bethlehem with his mentor, Johannes Klemm, another Moravian. Klemm had come over in 1733, and they built organs together for several years in Bethlehem at the Burnside Plantation where they lived. Upon Klemm's death, then Tannenberg began the organ building business on his own. He moved him and his family to Lititz, where he produced most of the instruments he built. In those days, the Moravian communities were closed communities. They were closed outsiders. Tannenberg was in a rather unique business building organs, which meant that he had to travel outside of Moravian communities. He had to interact with other religious groups like Lutherans and German Reformed churches and Catholics. So the Moravian elders were a little concerned about him going into a business like organ building, which meant a lot of travel and contact with the outside world. But he was a respected member of the Moravian community. And he was, of course, America's most prolific pipe organ builder in the colonial times, producing between 45 and 50 pipe organs in his lifetime, which was quite a remarkable achievement.
So he was a literate man, as well as a terrific craftsman and a very inventive builder, because out here, virtually on the frontier of settlement, he had to be very resourceful. And he also had to make do with the requirements of the Moravian Church and later the Lutheran and other churches for which he built organs and orient his designs according to the needs of the particular liturgies. Not many of his organs survive in intact condition. I mean, most of them have been altered in one way or another or restored more or less sensitively. Most are small one-manual instruments without pedals, and they're very compact. They're very carefully and cleverly designed. I'm not sure who built the cases for them. I don't think that Tannenberg did all of the case work, but he had a lot of assistance over the years. And it's not always easy to distinguish precisely what parts of the organs Tannenberg made with his own hands and what parts were made under his direction or to his instructions by others.
Raymond Brunner's company restored the instrument found in the Whitefield House in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. When they first found the instrument, it was not in great condition.
Well, it was not really playable in a musical sense that you could make some sounds with it. It had been worked on a few times over the years. Basically, what we had to do with it was reconstruct the bellows, put new leather on the bellows, take the windchest apart, go over everything, and reseal all the winding system and the valves in the wind chest, do some work on the keyboards, clean and straighten pipework. Really, it required a minimal of work. Of all of the 9 surviving Tannenberg organs, this is probably one of the best preserved. We worked on this organ in 1997, I believe it was. We're not 100% sure of the date of this organ. It appears to be the 1776 organ that he built for Bethlehem. He also built a similar organ for a Moravian congregation in Hope, New Jersey, and one for, I believe it was for Lititz about the same time, too. So these things were moved around occasionally. But there are pencil inscriptions on the back of this organ from when it was moved from Bethlehem in the 1920s. So it appears more than likely that this is the 1776 Bethlehem organ and the second oldest of the extant Tannenberg organs. This instrument was very enjoyable to work on because it's so well preserved, because we didn't have to undo any damage or alterations done on it. And it was very interesting to go through it and see that the pipes had never been cut down like on some organs to repitch them to modern pitch. This is at a low pitch. This organ plays at about A430, which is a good bit below modern standard pitch of A440. And we found various inscriptions on pipes and in places in the organ where people wrote their names in there. We did not find Tannenberg's signature. He never signed any of his organs. I don't think the Moravian elders would not have approved of him bringing attention to himself signing his name.
The question of where the pipes came from is very vexing, because I found an inventory of his workshop. He had inherited a lot of materials from John Clem after Clem's death, and of course he added on to it as his career continued. So there's an extensive list of his tools and workbenches and so on. What is lacking is any mention of mandrels for shaping metal pipes. And so I wrote a little article about the mystery of the missing mandrels. I can't fathom how you can make a metal pipe without a mandrel. He obviously had them, but what happened to them, I don't know. And so I imagine he made the pipes, many of them, if not most of them, himself. He may have contracted with another builder, like John Vint, for example, for some pipes, for some organs. But we really don't know. It's very difficult to know precisely whose hand shaped the metal and did the soldering and so on.
Tannenberg did.
Well, Tannenberg's style and the Pennsylvania German style, if I can speak of such a thing as though it were a unified school, is quite different in some respects from what we're used to hearing in the way of Silbermann and Schnitger and, the mainstream German Baroque. They had different conditions here, different size buildings, different acoustics, perhaps different tuning systems once we get into the 19th century, and different repertoire, certainly. And so the builders here eventually moved in the direction of forming an American school of their own, a distinctive one, to which people are now beginning to pay attention because of the restoration of Tannenberg's instruments. They've opened up a tonal world which is still rather fresh and new and exciting. And so American builders particularly now are beginning to turn to these Pennsylvania German builders as models for new work.
Edward O'Dell is one such organ builder who has discovered new things in the old work of Tannenberg.
David Tannenberg's work really fascinates me because of the polish that it was, especially when you consider the technology that was available to him and when he was building organs at that level. Tannenberg is a completely fascinating figure just because of what he was doing and when he was doing it. When I look at the pipes that Tannenberg made and I see how he made them, I'm fascinated. You know, the whole world falls away from me.
German organ builders here in Pennsylvania really seemed to love lovely, sweet vocal voicing. There was nothing strident or shrill about it, and particularly the organs for the Moravian Church, which were purely accompanimental instruments, had a very sweet, rather subdued vocal quality that harmonizes beautifully with the human voice. It's not an instrument for virtuosic solo playing or anything like that. There's no repertoire for that kind of organ in the Moravian Church. But for accompanying the voice, it's really superb because it sings along with the congregation or with a soloist, and it blends beautifully with stringed instruments in ensemble playing. So as a continuo instrument, now these little Moravian organs are also wonderfully apt.
Tannenbergs to the modern ear are very sweet, I think is a word that I would use in sort of in their tone. We're very used to being blown away, you know, we want to really be impressed, you know, or we want to hear the powerful principal choruses and things like that. But Tannenberg's organs are, you know, from a quieter time. You know, you have to, I think, listen a little bit more closely for, you know, their distinctiveness.
One of the things that I like about this instrument, it has one of Tannenberg's beautiful viol da gamba stops in it, his 8-foot string stop. It has just an exquisite sound to it. It's like the bowing of a violin bow on a violin. They're such a beautiful sound. There were a few of those Tannenberg gamba stops left, and they're very unique. You know, many people have commented about the beauty of that stop. This organ is remarkable because nobody ever attempted to re-pitch it or revoice any of the pipes, so we know we're hearing the authentic sound. Tannenberg knew that he was building instruments that he would be taking on a wagon far away that might not get service doors seen by an organ builder for years. So he had to build a rugged instrument that would hold up. And a little organ like this without any reed stops to go out of tune really doesn't need much attention at all. Probably a little touch-up tuning every few years. Chances are in the days when this was built, the organs probably didn't get tuned more than once every 10 years.
But clearly he had apprentices. He trained a number of people, and the circle of organ people around him who were influenced by him was probably much greater than the people who worked with him directly.
The only builders that I think that we have in the Northeast that come even close to him are the Appleton brothers. And they were building in the 19th century, and he was building in the 18th.
There was a hiatus in his organ building activity during the Revolutionary War, but then he continued the organ building business after the war and produced many fine instruments, the largest of which was for Zion Lutheran Church in Philadelphia, an instrument of 3 manuals with 43 racks of pipes, the largest pipe organ built in colonial America.
So his work is really very refined and very personal and characteristic and full of charm. And we have a lot to learn from him still.
I would like to thank all of my guests on today's show. First, thank you to Megan Van Ravensway, the director of the Moravian Historical Society Museum, located in the Whitefield House in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Visit the website at moravianhistoricalsociety.org to learn more about the organ and the museum. Also, thank you to Gwen Michelle, assistant director of the Moravian Music Foundation and organist, who played all of the music on today's show. And thank you to my guest today, Lawrence Libben, the retired curator of musical instruments from the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, Ray Brunner, owner of Brunner & Associates Organ Builders, and Edward Odell, owner of Odell Organs. We have links to our guest websites and the Moravian Historical Society on our website, attheorgan.com. You can subscribe to At the Organ on iTunes and on Google Play Music, where you can rate our show and help other listeners find us. Also, be sure to visit us on Facebook and on Twitter, and feel free to contact us with your thoughts and feedback. Our email is info@attheorgan.com.
At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening.